every time I go to church, I have a moment where I'm like, oh, thank you, God. I'm half Nigerian, half Guyanese, and I am an OKK as well.
Yes.
Our elders have such strict and strong values. Anything I did with my career, I kind of thought, I can't do something that would disrespect them.
Wow. But the kids doing the most, they're like, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in a high.
So I was broke, like dumb broke, had nothing in my mum's house, just like, what now? From 2018, something changed in me where, you know, I'd been grinding, left uni, trying to figure out my career paths, and I just realised I'm not happy.
Welcome back to the Come See podcast. I'm your host, Dami Okeke. It's amazing to be back in the chair, and I'm joined by a guest this time around. Just to say thank you so much to every single subscriber, whether you're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, wherever you watch the podcast. I'm so grateful. I always forget to shout you guys out. And I know that community is such an important thing. So thank you so much for your support. Please continue to share, like, and if you haven't already subscribed, now is a good time to do just that. Because the conversation I'm going to have today, I'm very excited. But let me introduce my guest first. So my guest today is an award-winning broadcaster. She has worked with an endless list of brands, including the BBC, Sky, Link Up TV, Mobile Awards, Nike. She's the official host of the Notting Hill Carnival, and she previously hosted her own radio show on Capital Extra. If you're really good with your entertainment, you might be able to guess that my guest this afternoon is the founder of The Mainstream, Ramel London.
Hey!
Go, 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 go!
Thank you, Dami.
I am beyond excited to have you in the chair. First of all, you are a broadcaster, as am I.
Yes.
So you already know it's going to be lit because we're two broadcasters.
Yes.
So we know what we're doing here. I'm so excited to have you in the chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
honoring our conversation. I'm going to go straight in
go
and ask you about your upbringing, about your family life. We had a revelation in the emails that we share the same surname.
Yes.
Because all this time I'm like, Ramel's from the Caribbean. No, you've got a bit of
so
Niger
talking
in you.
Background. So I'm half Nigerian, half Guyanese, and I am an OKK as well.
Yes, OKK. So for all the Igbo kindred, your daughter is here. Your Ada is in the room.
I'm here. No, low key, we might be related. Your husband.
My husband. By marriage.
Yeah, there we go. So yeah, I'm an OKK, and my other side is Wickham, but I'm now married, so yeah. I'm now Ramel Hyatt, so that's my now government name. But I was a very proud OKK for a very long
in
time
the blood.
Yes. And my upbringing was amazing in the sense that my family have always been very open to all of us being creatives, choosing our paths, doing what I want. So especially the OKK side, your husband's rubbing off on you. We're all creatives. All creative.
Igbo people are very industrious.
Yes.
So industrious.
My cousin, Ola Ince, but Ince by marriage, is an award-winning theatre director.
Wow.
My sister is like, you know, she's just had her master's in psychology. I've got cousins that are studying like the arts and do all kinds of creative projects in everything. So it's really just been nice for a Nigerian family to be full of creatives. Yeah.
I was going to even like ask you, because normally that's not the norm.
Yeah.
Why are your parents so woke? Like, that's not the norm.
So, you know, I think my granddad was a major scholar. You know, he's very accomplished. Well, he's no longer here, but he was very accomplished in the psychology world. Mm. And he basically helped so many people with therapy and like...
Here in the UK?
Yes, here in the UK. Okay. And he's been able to help so many people. I think he just sees and understood that let my grandchildren do what they love and don't block them. Don't, you know, had that always encourage
that intelligence, that emotional intelligence. Yeah. He understood how the mind works.
Exactly, exactly that. And all of my grandparents, both Nigerian side and Guyanese side, they always just believe in trying. Like, they just want to know, what are you up to now? Okay, keep going. That was always like the kind of mantra I felt was always around me. Just keep going. So that was so encouraging for me.
That's so liberating, because I think a lot of, I can speak for African parents, especially back home, maybe because of the challenges that they face on a daily, you know, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be an accountant, or what else, you're going to, you know, there are certain roles that you can, you know, ascribe to. Yeah. You're not going to be in entertainment.
Yeah,
you're not,
exactly.
You're not going to be an actor.
Exactly.
Like,
that.
You're not going to be an artist. Like,
yeah.
That's not up for,
yeah.
But maybe it's the fact that they migrated to the UK,
yeah.
And they were already triers. They
yeah.
they took that risk. So why not
Definitely.
Take a risk and, you know, explore that opportunity?
Definitely, I agree. And like on my Guyanese side as well, my granddad was 40 when he came to the UK.
Wow.
And that always has been like a testament to me of
you're never too
you
old.
Can start your whole life again.
Wow.
At 40. So my mum's one of nine. At that point, he only had three children with my grandma. So
okay.
He's like, we're going to England. Let's start again. And I can imagine my grandma being like, okay, why? But to be fair, it was actually my grandma's nanny, we call her uncle, that wrote to her and said, you lot should come to the UK, you know, it's, you know, there's work.
Right.
And then my granddad was like, excuse me, what's this about UK? So he was like, let's do it. Packed up his kids. And it's so
wow.
amazing. Like, before my granddad passed, I sat down with him. He told me the whole story of how he brought his family over, almost got scammed. And like, back then there were scammers trying to tell Caribbean people, yeah, give us this amount of money, we'll bring you.
Nothing has changed.
He clocked it. He was like, nah, not that one. I'm not getting on that one.
Oh, wow.
Whatever Windrush boat that was, he was like, nope, you're not taking my money.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, he's my family, especially like both of my granddads were brilliant storytellers. So I loved hearing about, you know, their upbringing and why and
their
how.
Adventures.
Yeah, literally that.
Amazing. So you grew up in a half Guyanese, half Nigerian household.
Yeah.
What were some of your experiences growing up? What are some of the milestones? What are some of the things that you remember?
I mean, I'm very, like, my mom, so she traveled from, she was born in Guyana, but she was only like two or three. So she doesn't
okay.
really have a memory of Guyana. She hasn't actually ever been back. I've been, she hasn't been. Yeah.
What?
I don't know how. She doesn't really like flying. But, so in my mother's home, it was quite like British, if I'm honest.
Mm.
But like, you know, you go to grandma and granddad's house. On my Guyanese side, my granddad and nanny live separately. And then my Nigerian side, my grandparents live together.
Okay.
So I had like three amazing homes.
Households.
Yeah. So like at granddad's house, there's food. At nanny's house, there's food. At grandma and granddad's in South London, the Nigerian food's popping off. Like
yes.
I was able to go everywhere and like every doorstep had a different culture.
Mm.
And when I say culture, I mean ethnically, but also like how the house runs. Like,
yeah. The values, the attitudes.
Like nanny runs a tight ship and like, you know, have you had your vitamins? Did you wear your hat and scarf today? Or granddad's very laid back. Oh, go in the fridge. There's food if you want to eat. Grandma and granddad's house, Nigerian side. Everyone's there. It's like fun house.
Come on.
Fun house. Literally. Granddad's up in his study reading his studies
yeah.
and then grandma's downstairs like, guys, do you want
always
any food?
Cooking
yeah
always
anything
cooking.
You want to eat, like you can't go to grandma's house without eating. So
wow.
Each household had its own like kind of like fun quirks and homeliness, and yeah, I always felt surrounded
I was just gonna
by love.
Say
yeah.
you're so blessed because a lot of people do not have that kind of experience, especially not these generations, because some of us are like first, you know, migrants. We've only just come here, or our parents were migrants. So to have that much culture and family around you
definitely
in that day and age is not, I'm not saying you're ancient.
No, but yeah, definitely.
But it's not the norm.
Yeah, a lot of people, unfortunately, their grandparents might have passed or they might not be
or
in
they
the
were
country.
Back home.
To have all of my grandparents, like, you know, for majority of my life, has been amazing.
Yeah. How do you think that impacted you? Just having that kind of I would say, for some people, an ideal sort of family upbringing. How do you think that impacted you?
I mean, I feel like I will say it impacted me because I never wanted to disappoint anyone. Mm. And like, our elders have such strict and strong values. Anything I did with my career, I kind of thought, I can't do something that would disrespect them or make them be like, what are you doing? So I've always like made sure that in the work that I do or associations I make, I'm always kind of like respecting my family. Like, I always have this thought of like, oh, if my grandparents watch this, are they going to be like, ugh? Like, I want to be able to say, hi, grandma, I'm on TV tonight. You can watch this. Yeah. And be like, oh, yeah, sure, let me watch.
Not
let me
turn over the channel.
Yeah, not be like, oh, my God, what is she doing? Like, you know, I always thought, I guess it's made me very much like an all-round kind of like family entertainment broadcaster, because I'm like, I'm always going to make sure anything I do, anyone can watch, anyone can listen to.
It's wholesome.
Yeah, I love that feeling. And, you know, I want my little cousins to be able to watch it and my older cousins to be able to watch it and everyone to just feel like, oh, we're proud of her. So amazing. Having family around you, knowing all your business, made me very conscious and aware of, okay, I can't let them down.
Yeah. Was that ever pressure though? Was that ever like, did that ever make you feel a level of...
No, I wouldn't say it pressured me, but it just made me very self-aware.
Okay.
So...
You had your boundaries, you knew...
Yeah, yeah.
Which a lot of young people, when they get into entertainment...
Yeah.
...don't actually have any established boundaries. They have to almost make the mistake and then be like, actually, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, I've been outspoken a lot, but that's just because all of my family are. Like, we're all very much, like, we say it how it is. And that's kind of like caught me out sometimes, but never in an outspoken way where I'm offending people. I'm just saying what I've got to say. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I'm always very aware of like, okay, how is this going to impact me, my family, my friends, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So which house? You've got the three households. You've got nannies, you've got granddads, and then you've got the Nigerian, the Okeke household.
Yes.
Which one was the faith household?
Ooh. I'd say in different ways, all of them. But like grandma and granddad's house, my Nigerian side, definitely. Like their elders at their church.
Yeah.
You know, my granddad used to lead sermons as well. Wow. So yeah, like, you know, he loves being educated, which was on every level. So we're like, oh my God, granddad's preaching today. Oh, amazing. So like, there were so many times where it's like, you know, we get the message, come on guys, we're all going to church this weekend. Got to represent. Like, yeah. So yeah. And all of the stories that were told to us were always like, you know, there's always the moral of this story is kind of thing. Not that it was literally said verbatim, but excuse me. It's always like, I'm going to teach you something and I hope you keep this. So I always knew in each household, I'm learning something, I'm taking something away, even if it's just a small conversation. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, what did you take from that kind of thing?
That is amazing, because scripture even talks about, you know, how the older women should teach the younger ones, and seeing that play out in your life is, yeah, it's something a lot of people will envy, because a lot of people don't get to inherit that generational wisdom.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And you've been able to inherit that. That's awesome. So tell me about your faith story, your come see story. Was it a road to Damascus or was it a gradual knowing of who Christ is?
So I've always gone to, well, not always. My primary school was a Church of England school. So without fail, there was always going to be like end of year, everyone goes to
assembly.
Church. Yeah, yep. big church assembly. So that was always in, like, lives rent-free in my head. Like, the boys just like, yeah. like, I've got all of these old, like, hymns in my head.
Oh, wow.
But the kids doing the most. They're like, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in a heart. Like, we were doing the most. So, like, primary school was jokes. Like,
oh, that's amazing.
When we were like, We'd all look at each other like, yeah, it's time. It's time to perform. We're going
remix.
In. Literally. We thought we were in Sister Act 2.
I was like, just going to say, joyful. I can see the scene now.
If only they let us sing those songs, boy. But so church was ingrained in me from school and education. Mm. My secondary school, not so much, just a normal state school. But my group of friends all grew up in like either Nigerian, Ghanaian, Caribbean households that were all very much faith-based. So I remember in year 11, when we were just finishing school, my friend Yasmin introduced us to a group of other young kids who all go into a church that was near our house. And basically there was like an older guy who's probably like in his 20s, but all his younger brothers, he was like, no, I'm going to make sure you all learn the Bible this summer. We were like,
wow, kudos to him.
Yeah, we were just like, so wait, we're linking up to do Bible study over the summer holidays.
Fun.
Our boy's going to be there. Okay.
Let me just say, I identify with that because I definitely started going to church because of a guy.
Well,
so,
it was just a link up.
It's about how you get there.
Yeah, it was a link up. We were all the same age. It was probably like 10 to 15 of us. And like, but one of the guy's older brothers was like, nah, we're doing Bible study. And we were like,
this is not.
But then the more I listened, I was like,
tell me some more.
This Bible study is good, you know? So from about 15, 16, I started getting a lot more serious about my faith. But it was on and off because I feel like couldn't really find a church that I loved back then. And when I went to the University of Leeds. Okay. So I went to Leeds and found a really nice church, found like the black church, if I'll be honest. We used to go, but again, it was like only if your uni friends were going regularly, you'd go. But we did actually go quite regularly and that was really nice. Came back to London, just couldn't find a church. Mm. Like for a long time, I couldn't find a church. So I just didn't make it a priority. But in the last, I would say, from 2018, something changed in me where, you know, I'd been grinding, left uni, trying to figure out my career paths. And I just realized I'm not happy. And there was a specific period where I just left, I'd left. This is 2014. I just left a job. Well, kind of got told to leave because I was kind of working at two places in the radio industry.
Okay.
They get a bit funny.
They don't like that.
Yeah, I was working at two places at the same time. They were like, you can't do that. You've got to choose. And I chose the one that gave me airtime. But then I remember praying and being like, God, please make this be a good decision. Like, please. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started realizing that I really need to put God in the middle of it. But that wasn't the actual time that I feel like I really had that moment. Mm. So that was 2014. Fast forward to 2018, I quit another job. Same thing. It's happened so many times.
So it was whenever there's a crisis.
Yeah, clearly. I remember there was a time I just dropped down on my knees and I said, God, please make a change. Something has to give. Something has to change. And
Can you tell me some of what was really going on there that made you, because I think there is a level of self that motivates us, you know, when we're, you know, having successes, when we're reaching certain accomplishments. And sometimes it takes an interruption in that, you know, excelling for you to be like, you look up like, God, what's going on?
Yeah.
What were some of the events that led to your kind of, you know, coming before God and be like crying out to him?
I would say it was an identity crisis more than anything. So I had spent, at this point, I spent 7 years working with an online platform called Link Up TV. And I decided to leave because I just didn't like where the music scene was going. It just felt really dark and like drill was like really on
coming
the come
very
up.
Violent.
Yeah. And it just felt like I can't work for a brand that represents, and like, I loved working with Link Up TV, but I couldn't work for a brand that was representing something I was very heavily in disagreement with.
Yeah.
So I left that. But when I say left, it wasn't just, oh, I left working with my friends. Like, they were paying me. Like, I had a job. Mm. I was like their production coordinator at that point. And I left. And it was quite like an uncomfortable leaving process because these were my friends. Mm. And they were like, how can you leave?
7 years is not.
Yeah. They were literally like, how can you leave us? And I was like, I have to. And they didn't really understand my standpoint on that. So I was broke, like dumb broke, had nothing in my mum's house, just like, what now?
Yeah.
And I remember just breaking down and just crying and be like, what have I done? What am I going to do? I did this to be a good person, but
where's the rewards?
Yeah.
Like,
literally. And then a few months later, maybe even a month later, I met a talent agent. who took me on. Again, for 13 months, nothing happened. But then by the end of summer, she got me jobs that were very well-paid jobs, corporate jobs, and started working with her and the team. And I was like, that was good. Like, yeah. I asked for change. And it was the most dramatic change. I went from doing music stuff to corporate bookings where they were flying me to Europe.
That's not pivoting, is it? That's a leap.
It was 100%. I'm like, oh, okay, you don't want me to be in that space anymore. You want me to look and think bigger.
Levels are changing.
Yeah. And like, you know, the money was different and like everything was different. I could start saving and I saved so much in that time. Mm. And I was like, yep, this is God. Like, this is only God. And then from there, I was very conscious about I need to find a church. So as much as I was doing my own kind of like private studies, as the years progressed, that was 2018. 2019, I went to LA with some friends. And we went to One LA Church, I forgot their name, Sarah Jakes.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Her and her husband had a church. Mm-hmm. She wasn't there, but Torrey Roberts,
yeah.
He was leading. And it was a really good sermon. And then I'd never heard of them. And then I started listening to a few of their podcasts online. I was like, okay, not bad, not bad. I'm like, it's not 100% my thing, but I like where this is going. And again, that inspired me. When I get home, I'm finding a church. So that was February 2019. By March 2019, I'd found my church, which is now my church home. So it was like God kept on setting me up for, here's a little taster of what
was in the family of Christ, that community. Yeah,
like here's a church that you might like. Might not be your church home or church family, but now you kind of have an understanding of what kind of sermons you're looking for. And I think that's what it is. It's like figuring out what you need, what feeds you. Mm. And I think some of the sermons I was listening to, I'm like, these are okay. Not bad. But then I found the church, and the main reason that brought me to the church was music. The praise and worship of my church, current church, was amazing.
Really?
But funny story, I'd met my current pastor a few years prior at the MOBO Awards because they won a MOBO Award and I interviewed them.
Interesting.
So it was all small world.
Wow.
Wait, what? Oh, you live near me? Oh, your church is around the corner from my mom's house. What? Like, all those things. I was like, God, okay, I'll go to this church. Let's see how it goes. And I'm like, oh, you guys, I know you. And then it's like, wow. And then everyone in the area, I'm like, what? You went to that school? I went down the road. Like, it was just all this kind of like
reunited.
I mean, I didn't know them, but like, we're all from the same area, same background, same everything. So it was like, this is crazy. So I invited one of my friends. Now two of my friends go, their family go, my husband now comes. So again, and I joined when it was just starting. The church had literally just started. Wow. So I was kind of like with them through the journey. And now I have a real understanding of what I like about church, when I listen to other sermons, what I want to take from them and all that kind of stuff. So in a lot, that was a very long-winded way of saying, God's helped me figure out what kind of church community I needed by, you know, giving me a few trials of different experiences, making me realize, you know, you actually need church to kind of like hold you up, kind of hold you accountable as well, of like remembering God is in the middle of everything. So always make sure it's a part of my kind of journey. So
yeah.
I hope that made sense. I feel like I was talking a lot.
No, it definitely made sense. And, you know, there's this video on TikTok. I think it's on other social platforms as well, where the guy, you know, is talking about how people are saying, oh, I don't need to go to church. And then he's like, no, you don't need to go to church, but you need to go to church. And, you know, it's actually really refreshing to hear you say that church is not like a add-on, if you like. It's something that's actually necessary in the life of a believer. If you do have the freedom to be able to worship openly, do join a church community. What would you say to somebody who isn't convinced, who is like, nah, like I believe I'm a Christian. Mm. I believe Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. But the church thing is just so messy. Mm. Like, there's so many politics. And, you know, if we look at media today, the church is not necessarily doing very well.
At all, it's going through it.
What would you say to encourage someone like that?
I mean, yes, you can listen to sermons online or, you know, I listen to multiple different platforms and church communities online. But that thing about the physical presence of like, I can like, without sounding like, you know, a wet blanket, like every time I go to church, I have a moment where I'm like, oh, thank you, God. And sometimes you can't get that at home.
No.
Like, sometimes you can't get that through the TV. Like, sometimes you need to feel it. And I'm not trying to make it sound like, you know, to non-believers, like, oh, it's all shaking and rolling on the floor. No, it's not that. I've never done that. Mm. But it's where you truly can feel freely to embrace God. Like, yeah, it's such an amazing, refreshing, like, being in a room and in a space with fellowshipping and feeling that community of, we're all here trying to just be better. Mm. We're just trying to figure things out. We're just trying to look at God and be like, help me. So that same cry that I did in my house, come and do it in the church. And I don't want it to sound like, you know, because I know people have that thing of like, nah, man, they're just scamming. It's not real. All this, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, no, it is real. Like, when I go to church, I feel different when I leave. It's so refreshing. Like, I even remember a couple of years back, I was offered a radio slot on Sundays. And I said, no, I cannot. Like, I actually cannot, because
non-negotiable.
If I don't have my time on a Sunday to like praise God, listen to the word, yes, I could do that in the evening, or I could do it before the show. But no, I want to do it with my community, with my people. Yeah. So I feel like having, even not to make it sound basic, but having that routine of at least once a week, we fellowship together, we do this thing together, we cry together, we praise together, we celebrate together, like, make it a habit. Make it a habit, because it can do so much. It can actually be like transformative to your personal growth, your spiritual growth, your emotional growth, your mental growth and health.
Come on.
It's needed and necessary.
It is. Absolutely. Now, I'm just going to change directions a little bit, because I must talk about the mainstream.
Must
talk about the mainstream. We're in an industry that is very competitive.
Yes.
I'm just starting to peer my head into the, you know, the mainstream. I've done Christian. I'm, you know, leaning a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, we're there.
How have you navigated the mainstream? And then what inspired the mainstream?
So the mainstream actually was an idea that came to me in 2017. I did an event, because everyone kept on asking me, how'd you get into the industry? How'd you do this? How'd you do that? And I was like, I don't know.
Asking me questions.
I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. Especially back then, 2017. So I decided to do an event. AJ Adudu was my special guest, which was amazing. Again, this was before Big Brother and like Big Breakfast, so many big things that she's done. So had a really great conversation with her about how she got into the industry, because I thought, if I ask her, she can share her story and I can add my bits. So that was the idea. But unfortunately, literally maybe a week later is when my granddad passed.
Oh, wow.
And I was on such a high from this event. And then I was like, yeah, I got to have a break. So I took a step back. Then I ended up getting my show at Capital Extra. So the mainstream took a back burner, because I was just like, ah, I'm on radio now. I made it.
Yeah.
Hadn't made it.
Still making it.
So it was one. So over the years, the realization came that the mainstream is my space to be able to create and talk and all that kind of stuff. And the questions still kept on coming thick and fast. How do you become a radio presenter? How do you get in? And I was like, this platform is still very much necessary. The conversation needs to happen. So after some divine intervention from some real, I went to same year, 2019, which was again a transformational year. I went to New York. I met Sway Calloway. If anyone knows broadcasting, Sway Calloway is like OG. He's hosted everything from MTV to everything.
Sway. I know him, just like,
you know, Sway. Kanye. what was it Kanye said? what's the reason, Sway? Or something like that. How Sway? That's Sway. I met Sway. He let me sit in on his radio show, and Americans move differently.
Come on.
In 1 3-hour radio show, he had Michael Keegan, you know Key and Peele, the comedy duo. So no. Jordan Peele made Get Out.
Oh, okay.
They used to be a duo. So okay. Key is like his other part, like comedy duo. Okay. Key was on the show. R&B singer Tank was on the show. A new rapper who's amazing was on the show. And then he had the finalists of a competition, of a rap show that Cardi B was in, T.I., Chance the Rapper was in. This is all in one show. I said, how
was
have
just
you got
3 hours?
How have you got like 10 people as special guests in one show?
I was What's going to happen tomorrow?
I said, I'm going home. I'm going home and I'm working. I'm going to figure out how I can replicate all of this. So that's when I was like, the mainstream needs to happen. It needs to be a platform where we celebrate talent, because if that man can do that in one show, I can at least do one episode of something. So Fueled came back to London. 2020 launched the podcast, March 2020, typical. So I had to do it on, the dates. I saw the mask, the dates, yeah. So I was like, oh, need to do this online. But luckily, because we was online,
everyone was
free. Everyone's available. So I had Mo Gilligan, Clara Ampho, Vic Hope, Scarlett Douglas, all like the top people, black broadcasters of the time, all were like, yeah, I'm free.
Yeah, because everyone was out of work.
You are at home. Let's do a Zoom. So yeah, amazing. Great start to the podcast. And then from there, it's kind of developed into a space where we celebrate people that are, you know, if there's a new TV show, so we just had Leomi Anderson on talking about hosting BBC Glow Up. We had Lashana Lynch on a few months back talking about the Bob Marley film. So now the PRs understand this is where we celebrate black talent, black excellence.
That's the platform for it.
And we talk, we have in-depth. It's not just quick. It's like 30 minutes minimum. And all of them just share amazing tips. And, you know, it's not a faith-based platform, but it always comes to it. Like everyone always says, you know, and then I thought God. And I'm like, tell them. And it's always like, just like so encouraging and inspirational. And it's just all positivity. Like I love just sharing like, the highs, but also the lows of how they got somewhere and overcame it. So now we're kind of in a space where we're creating digital content. The podcast is there for audio listeners and then visual viewers and trying to do events as much as possible as well. So do live experiences of these panels and interviews.
You had your first like awards.
Yes, we had the Ones to Watch launch party in February, which was again another opportunity to celebrate new talent coming through. So we awarded 50 creatives from TV, radio.
How many of those creatives would be able to call themselves award winning if the mainstream hadn't?
Yeah, that was what a lot of people said. Like, it's like, oh my God, I'm, you know who I am, and people voted for me, and I'm an award winner. And I'm like, yes, this is the whole point. We want people to celebrate you. If you've got a community behind you, backing you, get them to vote for you and let's celebrate that. So yeah, that's what we did.
Amazing. I say this every episode. I wish we had more time.
I know.
I wish we had more time.
That's my fault. My bad. Sorry.
No. It's absolutely fine. It's fine. I just want to ask you what's coming up for you. What should people look out for? You know, the summer is just emerging. Yeah. What's coming up for you?
Yes. So you will definitely see more podcast interviews coming out. We're going to be at the podcast show at the end of May, which would be amazing with a live panel. We are going to be hopefully doing some like workshops, presenter workshops for people that want to get into the industry in the summer as well. And I'm really, really, really trying to work towards producing more longer format stuff. So I want to do like a doc.
Ooh,
I'd love to do a mainstream.
You did one with Guyana. We can't go into it now, but you did one about
I haven't actually done one. Again.
Oh, you didn't.
That was me manifesting it and be like, God, please send the producers.
So maybe something.
Yeah, like I want to do a doc around black talent under the mainstream umbrella, but also I want to just do docs in general.
Yeah,
like, that's the plan. But yeah, loads more TV opportunities, appearances, doing lots of digital stuff, red carpets, all that jazz. So,
Oh, just little thing here and there, red carpet here and there.
Yeah, just a few.
Amazing. Ramel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dami.
Thank you for honoring our invitation. And I'm excited for all that God is going to do. And I pray that as people, you know, see your successes, they will be challenged to ask why. Like, what is it about her?
Yeah.
And they'll find out that actually there's someone called Jesus that actually the one that is, you know, motivating, that is influencing the success.
Just to round that up, I couldn't agree more. If I didn't put God in the middle of everything I'm doing, and if I didn't ask God, is this the right thing? Should I be doing this? I wouldn't be where I am now. So, 100% vouch for everyone. God can really allow you to do things in the industry, even though, you know, it's secular and all that kind of stuff. You can still love what you're doing and have God in the middle of it. So yeah. don't be afraid to be a creative in the
and
world
a Christian, yeah.
and a Christian. Exactly. You can do both. You can say no to things. I don't say yes to everything. Mm. So God always knows, or God always leads me to the right things. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ramel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Come See podcast. Until next time. We'll be right back.